Hi, I'm Talissa.
And I'm Rachel, and this is Transatlantic Crime, a true crime podcast that covers stories from each side of the pond. Every week, we will both cover a separate story with a running theme.
Disclaimer, this podcast will contain swearing and details that some people may find offensive. If you are of a sensitive disposition, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transatlantic Crime.
So close. Right, I know that the expectation is to probably go over how our Christmas and New Year was, but I don't think either of us want to do that, so let's just skip right into the fucking...
Well, hey, let's just
New
say...
Year.
Yeah, let's say Happy New Year, Happy 2022. We hope everyone had a great holiday, better than ours.
I know, like, my friend Jenny was telling me, like, how shit her New Year was. Like, she barely gets any time off.
Yeah, aww.
Because she's on the ambulances. And then she said that she, like, went to her hometown and that she was like, hey, everyone, who's coming out? And they were all like, we've all got COVID. She was like, oh, you motherfuckers.
It's so true. I'm sick, but I don't have COVID. If people notice a little scratch in my voice, it's because I am sick.
I know. And then I was, like, sick last week. Like,
yeah.
And now you're being a trooper. It's just... Also, it's been a bit of a weird one because it just hasn't felt like... You know, like, usually you're like, oh, I'm going to make loads of New Year's resolutions and, like, da-da-da.
Yeah.
It just hasn't felt like that because, like, nobody could really do anything and, like, everyone's just in and everyone's been in for the last 2 years.
Exactly.
And,
like, the last
what
2 years.
Fucking resolution am I going to make? Like, climb Mount Kilimanjaro? Like, I'm going nowhere. I'm going fucking nowhere.
So, you're coming to me in May, so we can look forward to that. We'll make all of our New Year's resolution then.
Yeah, also, if you want to hear a funny story about my sad little life, I found out that, obviously, I'm just at that age where, like, everyone's getting engaged.
Mm.
So, like, found out another friend was getting engaged and then got really depressed about it, and then I bought myself an expensive ring. Mm. And then I sent Tom, like, a shitty message being like, bought myself a ring because no one else is gonna, and he just, like, went, it's a really nice ring, you deserve it. And I was like, there is no shaking that man's cage. And then, like, and then I cried all the way home, like, from driving from Andover to Bristol. Yeah. And then when I got home, I was like, oh, my period started, that'll be why.
Yeah. Like, oh man,
just a mess. A hot mess.
I totally get it. I know what it's like to have that, like, you're just crying for 3 hours and you're like, everything is terrible. And I just, and then 3 days later, you're like, oh, it was my period.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, that's why.
Yeah. Oh,
so, I'm feeling a bit better now, though. I kind of, like, I've had the first week back at work and it's all good, and we're back on the podcast train.
Yay.
So, and Arlo's back. He was the Carly's grandma for a while, who, like, I literally thought I was going to have to pry him out of her fingers. She was just, like, wanted to keep him.
Didn't he follow you into the bathroom the other day? Or he does that all the time, right?
He's, like,
does
it all the time.
Secret service.
I was just drunk, so I sent you a photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said to you, I feel like Princess Diana with, like, a secret service man being like, I'd feel a lot more comfortable if we did this together.
Ma'am, I'm going to follow you to the bathroom. Don't feel weird about it.
He's like, I was like, I'm just going to go for a piss. Arlo's like, okay, I'm on my way. What? Does Tito not follow you, like, everywhere?
He does. He'll, if I'm going to the bathroom and I have the door shut, I'll just hear his little nose sniffing at the door. Like, are you in there? I just want to make sure you're okay. Or if I'm brushing my teeth, he'll just come in and poke his head in and be like, okay, you're brushing your teeth. All right. That's boring. I'm going to go.
I'll let it slide.
Yeah.
Have you got any true crime docs or podcasts that you've been listening to?
Honestly, these past 2 weeks feel like a blur. So I I'm sick right now. Like, my brain is not moving. But I did finish Harsh Reality. I know that we had some comments from some listeners. Yeah.
Yeah, the last episode is out. So if you want to listen, it's there now.
Yeah. Sorry I created that stress for you guys by only
oh, yeah.
you weren't able to binge the whole thing.
had comments on the Facebook being like, Rachel did us fucking dirty, being like, listen to this, and then the end episode wasn't out. Well, it's out now,
It's
okay? You can
out
definitely listen
now.
to it now.
Yeah, go listen. I wasn't expecting that. I really wasn't. I don't want to ruin it, but I because they didn't they never interviewed her, so it was clearly like what happened to her, but yeah, I wasn't expecting
I
that.
kind of think, I know that they were trying to be really respectful and stuff, but I
Yeah.
don't think, for me, it wasn't the true crime part of it wasn't in depth enough. Like, I think it
No.
probably, I guess it was a study of like reality TV and how far people
Yes.
go with that and
Yes.
trans like rights and
Yeah.
acceptance of trans people.
Right.
But for me, like, the true crime element of it was really brushed over.
Yes,
And I
definitely.
was like, I need to know more about that part. Like, how the fuck did that happen?
I
Maybe that's something
wonder.
that I have to cover, or maybe we
Yeah,
can do.
definitely. I think that's something that maybe we can dive into. They did kind of gloss over it, but I'm wondering if they did that because they didn't want to make it the focal point. Like, they didn't want to,
Yeah.
they wanted to
Yeah,
remember her
definitely.
as this beautiful, fun-loving person. And I kind of see why they didn't focus on that part of it.
Yeah, like the end episode could have been a whole another series on its own.
Totally. Yes, I
Like, it
agree.
there was a lot of info in the last
Yeah.
episode. Also, I was listening to a podcast called Real Crime Profile, which is
Yep.
also on Wondery now. I think
Yeah,
they've
I
been
think
signed to
I've mentioned
Wondery.
that one before as well.
Yeah, I think you got me onto it actually.
Yeah.
And it's got Jim Clemente, which, if you ever like watched any true crime program, he usually makes a bit of an appearance, doesn't he? He's in a lot of true crime programs. He's
I
an
just love him. He
ex-FBI
gets
guy.
so angry sometimes.
I know.
It's so like I just love it. It's kind of like Paul Holes, but like an angry Paul Holes, you
Yeah,
know?
Paul Holes would never get angry at anyone.
No, he's so calm.
He would like roll his eyes at you and walk away and just be
Yeah.
like, or he'd be like, I'll talk to you when you've calmed down.
Yeah, or he'll have some like insulting zinger and then that'll be it.
Zinger. Zing. Yeah, he would just like, yeah, he wouldn't even acknowledge it. But yeah, Jim Clemente gets really fired up. And then I can't remember the name of the other American lady on it, but she's like a casting person. And then there's obviously, is it
Hold
Laura
on.
Richards?
Laura Richards and Lisa Zambetti.
Yeah, so Laura Richards as well, she's British, and one of the episodes I listened to recently was about when they caught Ghislaine Maxwell, which was obviously like a year
Ooh,
ago.
I want to listen to that. I haven't listened
Yeah,
for
they
a
did.
while.
Well, it was like a Facebook Live that I think they later released as a podcast.
Oh.
Laura Richards is just going in on Prince Andrew like there's no tomorrow. Like, she couldn't give a fuck.
Yes.
She's just like a certain sweaty prince, like just like absolutely roasting him. Yeah, and she was also saying like she think like obviously you know how there's that belief that when like male predators want to attract female victims, they'll sometimes use a female perpetrator as well,
Yes.
with Fred and Rose West or
Well, we can reference
Ian.
our episodes if you haven't listened. The Honeymoon Killers,
Yeah,
where they would use, I think
like
it
the
was,
woman to like lure people in.
yeah, because it does make you feel safer. You're like, oh, it's a
Yeah.
couple, and they're I'm gonna go to their house and help them clean or whatever. And yeah, it does just make you feel safer that there's a woman there.
Yeah, a couple is like 80% less creepy than
Right.
a lone man,
Yeah,
I would
because a
say.
woman, if you trust a woman that she's gonna like keep a man in check,
Yeah.
so
Laura Richards was commenting on like how it's kind of extra despicable because she was using her like feminine charms to disarm girls.
Yep.
And she was also like, she said, oh, you know, when America, she also said like when Americans hear a British accent, a crisp British accent, they're like, ooh,
Yeah.
like interested, like, ooh, who are you?
Yeah, that's
Kind of
true.
thing. And I was like, I guess so. Like, I didn't really think of it that
It's
way.
very true. Even if you're from the north of England, which or
It's
like
not a crisp British
or
accent.
Welsh, yeah, but that's what you say. if you're over here and you have in America and you have that accent and you speak, anyone is like, ooh, British accent. They're much posher than I am, like, automatically.
Yeah, and that's what she was saying. Like, Ghislaine Maxwell gained trust that way. Like, she was really well brought up and, you know, had good manners and she was charming. I just really like the way that she's really unapologetic, like, in her feminism. And she says, they also do a really great series on the Nexium cult. They're talking about India Oxenberg and her mum. Is her mum called Catherine Oxenberg?
I think so. Before you move on, I just want to say the 2 weeks that we've been off, Ghislaine Maxwell was convicted. So want to acknowledge that. Yay.
Yeah. But although I did hear that she might be appealing on the grounds that one of the jurors said that he was sexually abused as a child and he would let that get in the way of his judgment or something. And I'm like, that should have been flagged way earlier. Well, you should have been cut way earlier if that was the case.
Yeah, but I read that too, and I read further comments on it, and one thing that I saw was nobody is unbiased. Like, everyone's had their experiences. So if a guy, and also it's not really related to Ghislaine because it's a man, so
Every single assault, like, anyone who's ever been sexually assaulted, so all the women on the jury, pretty much.
All the women on, like, the jury, and also just anyone that you might know. Like, you 100% everyone knows someone who's had something happen to them. So it's ridiculous to expect the lawyers of Ghislaine Maxwell to complain that a juror was, like, had this experience, because it's like everyone's had an experience.
And even if that happens, she's going to get a retrial. She's not going to get an acquittal.
Right, like, exactly.
So, and I think she'll be fucking found guilty again because she's just so fucking guilty.
Yeah, she is.
It's just a big waste of everyone's time.
It is.
And I'm also like, why is he coming forward now and saying this?
Yeah.
I'm not big on conspiracy theories, but the whole Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein thing, I think that goes right to the top.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah.
So many fucking people could be in trouble. Big, powerful people.
Yeah.
I think they're clutching at straws, or he's been paid.
Mm.
Like, I reckon somebody's, like, done a deep dive on every single juror and is like, what dirt can we find on the jurors?
Yeah.
So that we can find somebody who we can say was compromised, or, do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many rich people that have a dog in this fight.
Yes.
That I would not be shocked if they came, if it came out that, like, they got a PI to look into every single juror and find out what they could come up with.
Yeah.
To get her an appeal.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Also on the Nexium cult one.
Yeah.
There was, they have a clip at the beginning of, like, I think it was from the documentary Seduced, which is on Stars Play in England. I don't know what it's on in America. I think, is Stars a channel in America?
Yeah. Or a network? Actually, I know a bunch of people who worked on that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because wasn't it female directed?
Yep.
And you're like, oh, I don't want a name drop. Name drop?
Yeah, just the producer of the show is like, she was an editor that I used to work with, and one of the story producers. Yeah, I know her.
LA is a pretty small place.
The documentary world in LA is very small. I can, it's like Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees of separation. I know someone who's worked on something, or I know someone who knows someone who's worked on something. Yeah. Yeah.
In that, they played like the beginning, they played a clip from the Seduced show. And on the Seduced show, they had the defense lawyer for Keith Raniere. Oh my God, Rachel, if you listen to it, it would just boil your piss. Like, I was listening to it in the car and I was like, fuck you! Like, at the fucking phone. Because he's basically saying, oh, if it was a football team, they brand each other all the time. And like, why aren't they complaining about it? Because they're men. And I was like, I am going to fucking cut someone.
There are get so this out many of my things.
They're going, yeah, but it wasn't consensual. He was like, well, they sat there and had it done. And she was like, yeah, but is it consensual if there's blackmail being held over you?
Yeah.
And he's like, that's part of loads of fraternities. Like, da, da, da. And I was just like, oh my God, to be a criminal defense lawyer for a piece of shit.
Good
How do you
luck.
sleep at
How
night?
do you
Like,
sleep? You must be
you
making so
fucking.
much money to help you sleep.
Ugh. I wonder if it's more expensive to defend a piece of shit. It must be.
I don't
Like
know.
those lawyers that, what is he called? Is there a lawyer called Allen Ginsberg?
No, but I think I know who you're talking about.
Anyway, Keith Raniere's lawyer, because whoever that is, and I think he defended Harvey Weinstein, and he also defended Jeffrey
You
Epstein.
talking about Alan Dershowitz?
Yes, that's exactly who I'm talking about, Allen Ginsberg. Poor guy.
Sorry.
As long as he's done nothing wrong, then I'm sorry.
Alan Dershowitz is not a good person.
Alan Dershowitz is a bad, bad man.
Yeah.
Like,
Also, it's on that, on like shitty lawyers, the same lawyer who, the Mr. Big, how he's had like some stuff come out about him.
yeah, what's he called? Chris North.
Chris Noth, yeah.
Yeah, from Sex in the City. Yeah,
But
he's had
he's.
sexual assault allegations come up, hasn't he?
Yeah, so.
Apparently he was cut from one of the last episodes.
I don't know if you've watched the new season of And Just Like That. It's
And just like
terrible.
that,
It's terrible.
I have watched it all, and
Yeah.
yeah, it wasn't great.
But they were saying like that is one of the
Like,
reasons why they killed him off, because they didn't want to deal with
shut the fuck up.
the backlash. But anyways, his lawyer, Andrew Brettler, is the same lawyer who defended or is defending, what's his name, Armie Hammer.
No. What's he been charged with?
Well, I don't think that he's been actually charged. I think that there may
Oh,
have
he's
been
just
like a
like
lot of,
representing him
yes, but
just in
he's
case.
yeah, but that it's the
Got a
same
guy on
lawyer,
speed dial.
right? He's representing like a bunch of pieces of shit like that. Like he's like the lawyer to hire if you are a piece of shit.
It's so difficult because it's like obviously they're the only lawyer that will have you, but it also means like you're part of this alumni of pieces of shit. Like you're part of the
Exactly.
class of
Right.
nuggets of shit of
Why do you want to be
2021. Like,
connected? Why do you want to be
I
connected
know
to
it's like
that?
obviously you're guilty. You hired this cunt. Like,
Oh, Prince Andrew, him as well.
no. No. What do they Google? I did a sex crime. Help.
Lawyer, sex crime, piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, if I can get on that roster. Yeah, also, I've been watching, if you haven't seen it, Love Fraud.
Right. And that's
Really
why you
good.
brought up Real Crime Profile, because that's what led you to it,
Yes.
right? Right.
Yes, like, and I'm gonna actually go through all the Real Crime Profile episodes because they do like deep dives on documentaries, on crime documentaries. And like, that's how I discovered a crime documentary that I haven't seen yet, which is a miracle. So I was like, fuck yeah. So I'm gonna go back through the episodes and see if I can find any crime docs that I haven't seen yet.
They
But
did. The
they.
reason I started listening to Real Crime Profile is because they did that. You know how Netflix did the documentary on, why am I blanking on his name? The guy from
Don't know.
Colorado that killed his wife and two little kids.
Oh, Chris Watts.
Chris Watts. Why did I forget his name? I'm kind of glad that I
Well, they do.
did.
Yeah, me too. No, they do a lot of crime documentaries, so like you
Yeah,
can be
that but
forgiven.
that's why I started listening to Real Crime Profile, because they did
Yes.
that documentary and they and it was just so good. Like
And
that's
you told me to listen to that, and then I
Yes.
did. And it,
Right.
yes, can confirm. Yeah, so
So
they talked about love fraud,
yeah.
and I started the episode, and I was like, "Shit, I've never seen this documentary." And I was like, "I'm gonna ruin it for myself." I was like in the shower, and I like, leapt out the shower and like turn it off because I was like, "No." But yeah, amazing documentary, like 3 or 4 part. You can get it on Amazon Prime in the UK.
We decided that we are going to do a Patreon episode where we talk about love fraud because
yeah, definitely.
It's crazy, right? It's a crazy documentary.
Well, you Americans, you've just got too many states. That's why people get away with things, because they just fucking piss off somewhere else and then do it again. And then madness. But yeah, we'll definitely do a Patreon episode on that, because have you seen it yet? Are you yet to watch it?
No, I haven't. I remember when it came out and I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, I'm going to watch that. It's on Showtime here, so which is why I haven't watched it. It's like kind of in the background.
Oh, is it hard to get?
You just have to pay for Showtime, which we have, so it's watch it. It's just like not my first choice when I turn on the TV to open the Showtime app. But anyways. Yeah.
If you're ill, it's a good watch while you're ill thing.
Ooh, okay. Yes.
And there's a like an old lady in it who you will know exactly who I mean when you watch it. This isn't a spoiler, but like in one of the scenes, she's like 60 or something, and she's like smoking, and she's got a t-shirt on that says like, "I don't remember asking for your fucking opinion of me." Oh God, she just makes the show. Yeah, definitely give it a watch for her. Okay, so we've yammered on for about 20 minutes now.
We have.
Are you okay? Oh my gosh. Are you okay?
Just need to find my voice.
Rach.
Okay. So, right. Who is going first this week? I think it's you.
It's me this week, yeah.
Okay, great. So, then I can have some time to find my voice.
Drink some lemon. So, our theme this week is Kept Prisoner.
Yeah.
Which is quite a nice wide net to cast, I think.
I'm going to tell you that I had no idea what...
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know what it meant. And I was like, well, really? I guess I'll just do my own thing for this, which is... I think it's in the... I've tried to keep in the lines of whatever it is, but what is it in your mind?
Well, remember that guy that like kept a woman in a bin? Mm. For a while, mm-hmm. or like in America, there was a guy who kept a woman in a box, like that kind of thing. Just like kept prisoner.
Yeah, I didn't.
Or I don't know, like a good example would be Fritzl,
right?
Joseph Fritzl. But yeah, I'll just get into my story.
Okay, yes.
So Daryl Semester was born to parents Jean and Tony. He was the oldest and had three siblings: brothers Brendan and Duncan, and a sister called Zoe.
Okay,
they lived in Kidderminster. In Worcestershire.
Ooh, I have a lot of friends from Kidderminster. I do.
It's the hardest of the shires to say, Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
Because it looks like it's pronounced
Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
Yeah.
But it's Worcestershire. In terms of location, it's 17 miles southwest of Birmingham. It's just in the Midlands of England.
Okay.
So when Daryl was 30, he was described as timid, vulnerable, and easily led. So his parents believed that he had learning difficulties, but that was never officially confirmed. So they kind of always worried about him a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't, he was never completely independent.
Right.
So in the year 2000, he was 30 years old, and he went on holiday with his friends to, I think you say this, Porthcawl. It's in Wales, Porthcawl or Porthcawl. It's a holiday destination on the south coast of Wales.
Why have I never heard of that?
I don't know. It must be tiny, tiny town.
Yeah.
But, the friends and him went on a night out, and unfortunately, they were drunk and they got into an argument and he ran off, and then they just couldn't find him. So he was found a few days later by the police sleeping rough under a hedge.
Mm.
And the police tried to tell him to come with them. Yeah. But he said, no, I'm okay. I'm staying here. And because he was an adult, there was nothing that they could do.
Oh.
But
also, we all have one of those friends, don't we? That just runs off.
That gets pissed and runs off. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so there's nothing they could do, but I only saw that reported in one paper and never mentioned in any others. So I don't know if that was like maybe false identity or if it happened or didn't happen. Like, but I included it because I just thought it was interesting if it did happen.
It also lends to maybe what kind of person he was, where he didn't want to like go with the police, or he thought that he was okay on his own.
Yeah, definitely. So then a few days after that, his parents received a call from two men who said Daryl was working on the roads with them. So
What?
you wouldn't probably understand that as like it sounds like a strange thing to say, but like that's a traveler kind of thing.
Oh,
Like
okay.
that's what travelers say. Like they'll be working on the roads or they'll be doing people's driveways or stuff like that. Like they do like transient work. So basically, people were like, oh, so he's with some travelers. So 8 years goes by.
What?
So, but in those 8 years, Daryl would call home, but only around twice a year. And then whenever he called, his parents would ask him for an address, but he would say that he couldn't give them one. So his mum Jean said, I would say that I wanted to send him a birthday and a Christmas card and photos of his three nephews who he had never met. But still, he told me he couldn't give me an address. He would often call from withheld numbers, and his parents heard voices in the background telling him what to say. So obviously, they're like, what the fuck is going on? Sometimes he would report that he was working on the roads, and then he was in Ireland, but he would never give them an actual cement location of where he was. So this made them extremely suspicious that he was being held against his will.
I just feel like 8 years is a long time to
It is.
sit and be like, well, where is he?
Definitely. And oh, this is the thing, right? Because my dad's family have got, like, I've got an uncle called Tommy who I've never met. And well, I have met him, but I was like a baby. He's just gone. People just lost touch with him. And I'm like, how do you let that happen? But like, I think it happens more often than you think.
I mean,
Like,
yeah,
they're
that's
a
happened in my
grown.
family as well. If when it's a grown person, I just feel like 8 years, like maybe 3 years, you would be like, well, where is he? And it would be okay. But 8 years is a long time. That's almost a decade.
I know. But for them, he would call home and he would say, I'm fine. I'm just like working. I'm just away working. I'm like, I'm loving it. I'm okay. So I guess they were like, well, like, what are you supposed to tell the police?
That's
I
true.
think, like, there's nothing, they won't do anything. Like, they'll barely do anything for like a real missing person. Christmas Eve 2008 was the last time that he called his parents. So he promised to call them on New Year, but that never happened. And after they realized that they couldn't get hold of him, his parents and siblings, Brendan by this time is 42, Duncan's 38, Zoe is 37, they decided to track him down. So this is quite cool. They set up Facebook groups and they contacted missing persons charities and they appealed for help from the police across England, Ireland, and Wales. And they were told that the police couldn't help them because Daryl had been in touch and was alive and well. He therefore couldn't be classed as a missing person, but as something called a missing contact. So, AKA, like, I don't know where he physically is, but I know he's alive. So, thankfully, on Facebook, some people have managed to trace the mobile number that he called them from originally to a company in Rumney, which is near Cardiff, Wales. So what I'm assuming is like he must have called a house phone, and house phones like have proper paper bills and stuff, don't they? Where you can like, so like they must have just called the phone company and probably got the number. So with this knowledge, they made more Facebook appeals, and Jean's mobile rang, and she was given an anonymous tip-off as to where they could find Daryl. So the person at the other end told her that they'd seen him working on a farm in Gwent Levels, which is between Newport and Cardiff. So in November 2014, The tip led them to a muddy yard in Peterstone near Rumney, Cardiff, and inside a tiny caravan they found Darren. And when his brother Duncan first approached him and asked him, "Do you want to see your parents?" Daryl didn't recognize him and said, "How do you know my parents?"
What? Wow.
Yeah. So Duncan Semester said that his brother continued to shovel horse manure as they talked, and he seemed nervous.
Yeah.
And he was constantly looking over his right shoulder, and he said, "They're watching me. I can't talk to you."
Wow.
So his brother said, "I asked him if he wanted to come outside, and he said that he couldn't. I asked if he had a dinner break so we could meet in the pub, and he said he couldn't. He said that if I came back later when it got dark, he could possibly come out then because he would be locking up the gates."
Okay.
So anyway, the police arrived a few minutes later, and they reunited him with his mum Jean, who hugged him and said, "You're coming home."
Oh,
that's so sweet, Jean.
Yeah.
So it was the first time that she'd physically seen him since August the 11th, 2000.
Oh.
So after speaking to the police, who made sure that he was okay, Daryl left with nothing but a black bag filled with dirty clothes and a pair of boots. So this is what happened to him. He said he was picked up by two men while he was walking down the side of the road after he ran away from his friends and after the police incident.
Mm-hmm.
The men who picked him up were travellers, member of the Doran family. They'd picked him up at the side of a dual carriageway while travelling home and taken him to the family farm. During his 13 years away, he was kept in a filthy caravan by two men in the corner of a yard used to house up to 50 horses.
Aww.
His clothes were grubby and, yeah, so he was basically just, like, looking after the horses, like,
yeah,
mucking them out and, yeah, just doing, like, manual labour.
I mean, at least he had some horses to hang out with.
They yeah, could be sure kind of nice comforting. Horses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his clothes were grubby and ripped, and he told his dad he had been using a shower set up over a wooden crate and a piece of cardboard in one of the stables. There's loads of pictures of this online if you want to Google, like, where he was living.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, if you've ever been to a festival and it's just pure mud,
mm-hmm.
because the ground's been churned up, like,
yeah.
it looks like that. Well, it's pretty much a festival, really, just like showering over a fucking crate.
Right.
He'd been forced to work unpaid on the farm for the last 13 years.
Wow.
He worked 16 hours a day, and he'd only ever had 2 days off
oh.
in 13 years.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah. So he lived in appalling conditions, first in a rat-infested shed and then in a cold, dirty caravan with only a horse trough to wash in, with no soap and no toothbrush.
What?
He never visited a doctor, and he had a hernia on his groin the size of a football. He had
no.
he had a fungal infection that had turned the soles of his feet green, curvature of the spine, and severe weight loss. He wow. also had to cuddle so close to an electric heater for warmth that over the years the skin on his left leg had been scarred.
Aww.
He was also made to use an outdoor broken toilet that would only flush with a bucket of water and a stick.
Wow.
All these pictures, like, of the caravan. The
pieces of shit that just were like, yeah, you're gonna live out in the cold and you don't get any soap.
And he has, like, fucking learning difficulties, or, like, you
right.
know,
which is clearly why they I guess in
chose
a way kidnapped him.
Him. Yeah. And he said when he was asked, "Why didn't you just leave?" which is a really fucking annoying question.
Yeah.
He said he had been just too scared to escape.
Well, yeah.
Those who had forced him to work.
Right.
Like, yeah, you don't just go, you know, I'm keeping you here prisoner. If you want to leave, that's fair enough. If not,
yeah.
then, yeah, I'm keeping you prisoner. Like, you go, you're fucking staying here or I'll break your legs. Like,
right.
You don't just, like, people don't nicey-nicey. Yeah. Like,
and he's probably heard a bunch of lies as well. Like, oh, we have people out there. If you run away, then
yeah.
we'll bring you back or anything like that.
Exactly. So in October 2014, David Daniel Duran, 42, who was from a traveller family, as I said before, but I think they just like to really hammer that in the papers,
yeah.
Was taken to court for forcing someone to perform forced or compulsory labour. David Duran's father, Daniel Duran, 67, faced the same charges, but he was formally found not guilty earlier in October
mm-hmm.
of that year. The defence argued that Daryl's poor personal hygiene was not the Durans' fault, and he had been free to leave the farm at any time. again, what piece of shit is defending them?
Exactly. Going,
it's not our fault he was filthy. Well, it kind of is, because you didn't give him any fucking soap and you wouldn't let him leave.
Right.
So...
even if he was an employee and you hired him to stay there, you would still have to provide those things at the bare minimum.
Yeah, it's an insane argument. I can't believe someone had the ballsack to come up with it. And then, however, giving evidence, Daryl told the prosecuting barrister that he had felt scared and devastated. So he did actually manage to run away from the farm at one point with another man. Following a fire in the shed where he lived. He was asked how he felt on the way back once David Daniel Duran had found him, and he said terrified of him hitting me or kicking me or whatever.
Right. Well, there you go.
So exactly. So he ran away from a burning down shed that he was living in, and they still found him.
Yeah.
And brought him back.
And probably it punished was also, him.
And probably did kick the shit out of him as well.
Yeah.
So it was also revealed after police raided the farm. Daryl told officers he had tried to leave twice, once after a spade had been thrown at him, but he was caught and taken back to the farm. And he was allegedly told that he would be killed and buried with the horses.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's how they kept him there. Suddenly, David pleaded guilty halfway through his trial.
Oh.
Which I love when that happens. When they're like, look, this is a lose. You're just going to fucking lose.
And
you're just
going to look really bad.
And everyone's going to know. Like, if you let them keep talking, everyone's going to know what piece of shit you are. So if I were you, I'd give up now.
Yeah.
So while sentencing him, the judge said that while Duran had exploited his victim for 13 years, he could only sentence him for the period of 2010 to 2013, which is when the offence of forced labour was created. Oh, so before that, there was no law. Like, we didn't have enough, like, human trafficking laws or modern slavery laws.
What?
To cover. I know.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. So
that's insane to me.
I know, right? So, yeah, in 2010, we obviously had a forced labor law created. And that was the only bit he could charge him for. But Judge Neil Bitter told him the way he had treated his victim was repellent and wrong. And not much better than a slave. Not much better. Not any better.
No, it just is.
You wouldn't know you were treating him like a slave.
Yes, exactly.
The court was also told that the prosecution estimated that the victim's work may have had the value up to £280,000 if he was actually paying him.
Yeah.
David was sentenced to 4.5 years.
What?
That's fuck all.
That's nothing. Like, and considering how much time he was kept as a slave.
Like, don't you think he should get at least as much as the guy did?
Yes.
Like, at least as much as Daryl did.
Daryl, yes.
At least.
Yeah.
Anyway, happy ending. Daryl is now living in his own flat.
Aww.
And he has the support of his family. And when asked what he wanted for the future, he replied, a wife and a couple of kids.
Oh, yay, Daryl. I'm glad you're okay.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
And while they feel that the 4.5 year sentence handed to Duran was not enough, the family are satisfied with the outcome of the case.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that is the story of Daryl Semester.
Wow. That's... great story that I've never heard of, and it happened pretty recently.
Yeah, and there's a few more people actually that basically the police set up like a modern slavery task force because they just found loads of people that had been kept against their will and stuff.
I just think that that's hilarious that it's like, oh, we just introduced this new law. I guess we better look into it. Like. Before 2010, like, oh, that no, we don't have to worry about that. And then now it's like, well, we better chase this down and see.
Like, actually, what? that's a bit out of order, isn't it?
Yeah. That's actually not cool. Maybe we should address this.
Yeah. Laura Richards from the Real Crime Profile thing was like getting really wound up and going, Oh, because fucking modern slavery, I don't think she swore, but it was like, because modern slavery involves men, like that law, like bang, 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 that was like
Yeah,
passed, like,
right.
and then she was like, women have been sex trafficked for like as long as anyone can remember,
Yeah.
and women have to prove that they didn't want to be sex trafficked, but like, if it's men that are being treated like slaves, like, that's it, the law is passed, like,
Yeah.
it's, yeah, so again, she's just one of
Nuts.
my heroes. I
Yeah,
just love
love
her.
her.
She just doesn't give a flying fuck.
No.
Like,
The same with Jim
Jim.
Clements. He just gets so angry and he just goes off and you're like, I like it because it's a guy who you don't often hear it from guys who get so angry about
No.
that kind of stuff. So
Like,
both of
one
them
of the things
together.
he got really angry about, he was going, people are saying, underage women or underage men. No, they're under, no,
They're
they're
children.
children. Yeah, like he was like
Yeah.
shouting and getting like really upset about that. Like,
It's
yeah,
true
it's
though.
good. They're both so passionate.
Can he just like go into like the Senate or Congress whenever they're
I
like figuring
know.
out laws of sex trafficking and just yell at everyone?
I know. I love him. So, what's your story this week? I can't wait to hear what you've come up with, considering you didn't understand the brief.
Also, I was sick. I've been sick, so
Mate, no judgment here. Like, some of the shit I've come up with, Jesus Christ.
well, I was looking at Kept Prisoner, and I think in my sick
Like, lemsip
head,
addled head.
yeah, I was like, prisoner, prison. And I was like, for some reason, I feel like I knew what you wanted, that it, like some kind of prisoner, like somebody who was kidnapped and kept or whatever. And for some reason, nothing was coming up in my research
But
because
if
I
you're a
was just
prisoner in a
Googling the wrong
prison, that's
thing.
still being kept prisoner. Like,
Yes. So
semantically, you are correct.
I decided to, because I feel like I haven't done this for a while, but I wanted to go back to the Wild West and
Oh, you love
talk
the Wild
about
West.
yeah, and talk about just some of the women who had to go to prison because obviously it's rare. It was a rare thing for women to be punished, and they would be punished for mainly sex work. That's what women would be punished
Really?
for.
I
Yeah.
thought they loved a brothel in the Wild West, or have I just watched Deadwood and I think that that is the Wild West?
I think they did, but when women would like get out of line and
Oh,
try and
yeah.
like take what was theirs, then obviously the men were like, that's not cool, you're going to jail. So,
Okay. That makes sense.
yeah. So I decided to do a little research on the Wyoming Territorial Prison because Wyoming,
Wow.
even to this day, Wyoming is like, it's so beautiful, but there's like no one there. Like it's so
Okay.
the population of Wyoming is very minimal. So I just imagine
Like
it back
home
then.
on the range.
Yes, exactly. Just like rolling hills and deer running across the street and
Big
one
fat nothing.
house every 25 miles.
Oh,
So,
sounds quite nice, to be fair.
I mean, it is, but I think I would go a little bit nuts after a while.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, so Wyoming Territorial Prison was built in 1872 near the town of Laramie in Wyoming. It was paid for by federal money, and the prison had 42 cells when it opened. It had problems from the outset with a fire in
Oh, God.
1873 and
Been opening he
recurrent.
2 years.
Yeah, exactly. But then I'm like, no one's in Wyoming. Like, there's probably like two guys working there. So, what could they do?
I'm assuming it's made out of pure wood as well.
Actually, there's a picture of it. It's like brick. It looks like an old brick schoolhouse. It doesn't even look like a jail.
Okay.
Like a couple of stories, but yeah, brick. So there was a fire in 1873, and then there were a lot of jailbreaks. Of the 44 prisoners accepted in the first 2 years, 11 escaped. I mean,
Oh, dude.
44, that's not that many, and you let 11 get away.
25% really of your population is fucked off of their own accord.
Exactly. Which is, again, 11 escaped prisoners in this small town of Laramie. I feel like you would spot them immediately. It's not like everyone doesn't know each other there.
Unless they teamed up and like dressed up like a deer, like a moose.
Yeah, or had some kind of disguises or something. So
Yeah.
by 1877, the prison was overcrowded. As the prison filled, its reputation worsened and it became less used, being considered more appropriate for those with light sentences. In 1888, it expanded to 150 cells. Over the course of it being opened until it closed in 1903, so it was open for what, less than 30 years? Or about 30
Yeah.
years, it housed
Yeah.
over 1,000 men and just 13 women prisoners, convicted of crimes
Nice.
ranging from robbery, illegal liquor sales, because that's when I
Prohibition.
think, yeah, the start of Prohibition, and manslaughter. So one,
Boring. I mean, prohibition, not manslaughter.
yeah. One of the most famous prisoners there was Butch Cassidy. He was there from 1894 to 1896. But today we're going to talk about a few of the 13 women and how they ended up in Wyoming Territorial Prison. Also, I imagine, 150 men, or let's just say 140 men and 10 women. That sounds like a horrible experience for any woman.
I'm truly hoping that the women were kept very separate.
I don't know. I couldn't find out. Was there like a really small section, but it wouldn't have been that far away from the everyone else.
Yeah.
So the first few women sent there only spent a short amount of time there. The first female prisoner was Nettie Stewart Wright. She was suspected of stealing arms and ammunition from Fort McKinney, along with Leonard Starr and Lewis Blackwood. She was imprisoned for 2 weeks. From the last week of July 1880 until August 6, 1880, when charges against her were dropped because there was insufficient evidence. And this happens a lot with the women there. They just get sent there for a couple of weeks and then they're like, "Oh, we couldn't find any evidence."
Slapped
So,
wrists.
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. The second woman sent to Wyoming Territorial Prison was Florence W. Hughes, who was arrested in June 1883 for selling liquor without a license. Florence left the prison after paying bail, and she was never convicted due to lack of evidence again.
I get a feeling there's some sort of like, I'll give you a blowy, you let me go kind of situation going on here.
I hope not.
I hope not, but it seems like all the
Yeah.
women seem to get out.
Yeah, I could see that being the case. So the first woman in the prison that was actually convicted of a crime that she was accused of was Jennifer Berry. She was convicted on June 18th, 1887. She was a member of a gang or a group called the Fort Laramie Quartet, which sounds like a singing group.
Wow, it really does. This is reminding me of the Hateful Eight. Like,
Oh yeah. It's
I just
yeah.
imagine the woman in that, like, whenever I think of the female prisoners in this,
That's
the Quentin
true.
Tarantino film.
I can totally picture Jennifer Berry being this person. So the Fort Laramie Quartet consisted of Jenny Berry, her lover Adoren Everett, her friend Robert Sanderson, and another guy, David Lewis. In March of 1887, Jenny Berry was with a rancher named Richard Rice. Then she met Adoren Everett, and she left Rice to be with Everett. When Rice went over to Everett's ranch to, in quotes, claim Jenny Berry, he found Jenny and the three men drinking together. They were having a great time. They
Nice.
invited Rice in to drink with them. And when I was reading all different articles about this, a lot of them were like, this was a very tense drinking. Like, imagine you're drinking with your
Well, isn't it like your
friends.
ex showed
Yeah,
up?
imagine you're drinking with your friends.
Yeah.
And then your ex-boyfriend shows up to like confront you, and then you guys invite him in to be like, oh yeah, have a drink with us. And everyone has guns because it's the Wild West.
He's like, oh, I didn't expect there to be three other people here, but can we have a
Yeah.
chat about the fact that
Yeah.
you fucking ditched
No,
me?
come on. Let's have a drink together. Everything's
I bet he
fine. We're
just
all
gave
happy.
up.
We're
He
all
just
friends
gave
here.
up and was like, oh, fuck it, I'll just have some free booze.
He didn't give up. It got more intense. Things escalated into a fight with the three men beating Rice and attempting to shoot him. Jenny
Oh,
also attempted to shoot him as well, but the bullet ricocheted and missed. Rice was killed when he was beaten unconscious, and then they threw him in the nearby river and he drowned. So he wasn't shot. He was
whoa.
beaten and then thrown in the river. They were only caught because a neighboring rancher heard the gunshot and he went to go see what was going on. He peeked through the window and saw all this going on and he was like, I'm not getting involved. But he saw everything
Fuck
go
that.
down. Yeah, so he was the witness to all this. So the court convicted Everett and Sanderson for the murder of Barry's former lover, Richard Rice. David Lewis was tried and released for his role. And then Jenny Barry was convicted as an accessory to the murder and sentenced to 2 years in the Wyoming Territorial Prison. So she's, at this moment, she's like the only woman there right now. There's no other
Wow.
women. And I have a couple of rules that they posted at the Wyoming Territorial Prison. Just imagine Jenny Barry sitting there and reading these rules as
Yeah.
she's being admitted into prison.
Okay.
You will not be allowed to converse with each other on any subject whatsoever. Conversation is allowed only when you work out of doors and only in relation to the work you are performing. So I would
How
imagine
are you
because she's a
supposed to
woman.
police that?
Well, she's a woman too, so she probably couldn't be out at the same time as the men. So she's not talking to anyone.
No.
I can't
I
imagine
get what, like
that.
hard, they've got hard labor, I'm supposing, as part of their
Yeah.
punishment.
Yeah.
Okay.
You will not hold any conversation with visitors unless they are accompanied by either the warden or one of the guards. You will air and dust your bedding 2 times a week, and at such times you are ordered to do so and will keep your bedding in perfect repair. I included this as well because I just imagine a bunch of smelly men who weren't following the rules and Jenny Barry just sitting there in silence, smelling horrible smells.
I bet everyone stank in the Wild West, though.
Oh yeah, totally. But in prison it would be even worse.
I've heard prison stinks,
I never
piss,
thought
and
about
men.
that. I
I've
never
heard,
thought
yeah,
about
I've
that.
heard that it smells, yeah.
I guess too, because I mean, now in prison, you have your toilet in your cell, or a lot of
I
prisons do.
imagine like somebody takes a heaving dump in your cell and you just have to like sit there. It's like no air. What a nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, or
Oh my
like somebody's
God.
sick or
Or just some,
not.
like lets out a really undignified little fart when they wee or something. Just like, ugh.
If you hated your cellmate, how
As
much would
well, oh
that make
yeah.
it 10 times worse if you guys just
Ugh.
did not get along?
No talking to anyone ever,
Yeah.
apparently.
Unless there's a warden around, and then you will be permitted to smoke or chew in your cell as long as you do not deface the floor or walls. Come on, who was following those rules back in the Wild West?
Yeah.
And each cell will be provided with a spit box, which you must clean every day. Gross.
Oh, grim.
Do you know anyone who chews? I just think it's the grossest thing.
It was coming back. Like, there was some sort of, like, my nephews who were like 17 and 20 were telling me about this, like, tobacco stuff that you, like, rub on your gums.
Yeah. That's
What
what
the
it
fuck is
is.
that?
It's just like
Like,
it's you still get the like tobacco fix, I guess, but you're not smoking. And then
I can't.
you get like tobacco saliva and you have to spit it out and it's
I'd
disgusting.
kind of be interested to try it. Yeah, it doesn't sound that convenient. And it
Yeah.
seems like you're hot, like you get like really shitty brown teeth.
Yeah, that too. You will be allowed to write one letter per month and to receive letters every Sunday. All mail to you and from you must pass through the hands of the warden. Reading matter will be furnished by application to the warden and must be returned in good condition. So those are some of the rules of Wyoming State Prison.
They seem fair, apart from the not talking.
Yeah.
And everyone needs a bit of a chat.
Everyone does. I can't imagine just being in a prison like, full of men and not having
rocks
anyone
to talk
to.
Rocks are really hard, breaking rocks today, yeah. Right? Oh, them geez. Rocks.
Do you see that deer that ran through the field yesterday? Wow.
I've called him Gary. I've been looking out for him. Like, see, he's so bored.
Yeah. All right, so Molly Ringsinger and Belle Jones were prisoners number 10 and 11. Both were abandoned by their husbands. Belle was a mother of six. To survive, they turned to petty theft and sex work. Belle and Molly were caught when Belle wore a jacket she'd stolen to a large social gathering. The original owner recognized it, and Belle and Molly were sent to Wyoming Territorial Prison. They served 18 months for their crimes.
Like, where are their kids? This is a nightmare. Yeah,
I know. She was probably cold. That's it. 18 months for a stolen jacket.
That's a long time.
Just like, give it
she
back.
Got 18 months for a stolen... Like, she got 18 months for a stolen jacket, and attempted, like, murder got, like, yeah. two.
Yeah,
this makes
accessory
no sense.
To murder got 2 years.
Yeah.
So, this was one of my favorite, because there's a picture of this woman, and I just love this picture because she's looking straight at the camera. Her expression is like, what the fuck are you looking at?
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
Yes. I think we should post it. Her name was Eliza Stewart, or she was also known as Big Jack.
Yes, please.
Yes. She was convict number 459. She walked up and shot a man in the neck at a dance hall in Hanna, Wyoming. It was not known whether it was a lover's quarrel or a fight over money. She was convicted for, in quotes, assault to commit manslaughter. She was incarcerated at the prison from 1899 until 1901. And yeah, we should post her picture because I love it. She's got a little cowboy hat on. She's looking straight down the camera.
Wow.
Just great.
I mean, she probably had her reasons.
Yeah. Being a woman in Wyoming at that time, just...
Oh, mate, it sounds like dog shit.
Yeah, and if you were a person of color, which Eliza was, Eliza, a.k.a. Oh, Big Jack, 10 times harder. 100 times harder. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one of the last female prisoners to stay at Wyoming Territorial Prison was Stella F. Grattan. Stella is one of the first persons in the U.S. to use kleptomania as a defense. She was She was caught when, so a bunch of mail was going missing, and back then people would send money in the mail.
Yeah.
So Inspector C.M. Waters, he started investigating it because there was money going missing in that area for like 2 years. The inspector traveled to the many houses that had claimed that money had been stolen from their mail, and he matched the writing on the envelopes back to Stella. She was the wife.
That is some old school detective work.
Yeah, totally. So Stella was the wife of the owner of the Myersville post office. So when he went to go and interview her, Stella explained to him that a stranger on horseback had come to the Myersville station with the letters and asked her to address and send the letters. So the inspector was very charmed by her, and he decided to believe her. However, the incidents continued to happen over the next 2 months, and each incident led back to the Myersville post office.
I can't believe she got away with it.
Yeah.
First of all.
Very charming woman, I'm sure.
You've charmed me.
So he decided to set a trap. He recruited a couple of men, William Brown from Brownsville, to send registered mail containing cash to a man in Rawlins, Wyoming. He also recruited the stagecoach driver who dropped off the mail at the Myersville station. The stagecoach driver reported that he saw Stella take the registered mail pouch into a private room after he had dropped it off at the post office. After the man in Rollins reported his mail missing, detectives filed a complaint with the commissioner of the United States Circuit Court on April 4th, 1893, asking for Stella's arrest. So what she was doing was she was taking the mail back into the back room, opening it up, and then taking the money out, and then putting the letter or whatever else was in there into a new envelope, and then rewriting the address so that it would be sent on the people.
That's really stupid. Like,
yes.
I mean, I guess you don't have sellotape, so you can't really, like, how does an envelope seal back then? Like,
wasn't it
a wax seal?
Yeah, maybe it was wax sometimes. Maybe that was more if you're a rich person, but
I don't know. Like, I don't know the mechanics of an envelope in 1893, but either way, there has to be a better way of, like,
sending mail.
Taking the money out and still sending. But that happens now. People don't send money in the post.
Yeah.
Postmen nick the money.
Right, exactly. Or people steal your mail or whatever. So that's how they traced it back to her, because all those different letters had her handwriting on it. She was like, you fool. She was writing the addresses on the new envelopes. So she was arrested on the same day that they asked for her arrest, which was April 4th, 1893. And then the couple's home was searched. Investigators found several valuable items that had been reported missing in the mail. The couple was charged with 18 counts of mail theft. Despite claiming kleptomania as a defense, on November 24th, 1893, Stella Gatlin was found guilty of mail theft, and her husband John was found not guilty. I wonder if he had no idea, or because he was a man, then they, like, heard him out more and...
I don't know. Like, it kind of seems like she was a one-woman operation. Like...
Possibly, but...
She took it into, like, a private back room. But then, again, like, there's not much you can do with money without your husband's say-so.
Yeah.
In those days.
Right.
So he must have been like, where is all this fucking money coming
from? How are you
from?
Getting this? Or like other valuables. Yeah. Like, oh, I just found it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He would have to
have
some
idea.
Guess, yeah.
But her writing is literally on the envelopes. So, and also
exactly.
She admitted it.
Yeah.
Also, saying kleptomania isn't a defense. Like, like, that's just like saying, I just really enjoy it. So forgive me. Like,
yeah, that's like Ted Bundy saying, I love killing people. It's a problem that I have. Please forgive me.
I'm a nymphomaniac. It's not my fault. Like, right. Or something like that. Like, yeah.
So she was found guilty. 2 days later, Stella was transported by train to Wyoming Territorial Prison. She registered as prisoner number 150 and became the first woman imprisoned at the Wyoming prison who had been convicted of a federal crime in Wyoming.
Ooh.
Stella stayed there for 75 days, and on December 9th, 1894, after she had served her sentence, she returned back to her home in Myersville and to her husband, John.
Pretty light punishment.
Yeah, 75 days. Like, that's what, four months?
That's one of the things that, like, okay, women have it hard in a lot of ways, but when it comes to crime, our sentences are so much shorter.
Right.
And but barely ever executed for a crime that a man would have been executed for.
Yeah. Committing the crime for over 2 years. Like that one woman who stole a jacket, she was sent to prison for 18 months. And Stella...
yeah, but she was a sex worker, so fuck that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Fuck her,
that's
basically.
Even worse.
Like that. That other woman was like in air quotes, decent. So she got to just have a little jaunt and they were like, I'll just get her out of it.
And she had a prestigious job and her husband was probably prestigious as well. So
yeah,
that is the story of some of the women who stayed at Wyoming Territorial Prison.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Do you know what? The Wild West like does really fascinate me.
It does. And it does kind
of
go...
It's like Lord of the Flies. It's like people made their own fucking rules. Like, there were some people that were trying to keep stuff in check.
Right.
I would really, if you haven't watched it, I know you've seen Deadwood, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I would really highly recommend Deadwood to anyone that hasn't seen it.
Definitely.
It's based in the Wild West and it's really, really, like, obviously, I don't know this for a fact, but it seems to be pretty accurate, doesn't
I
it?
believe
Like,
it is based in Wyoming or like a place like Wyoming because there's just nothing around. People are just getting away with shit.
yeah, and there's okay, so there's like a whole brothel that is it Al Kissinger or Al Killinger? He runs. There's all the sex workers that work in there, and then apart from them, there's like two or three women, and that's it in the town. And like they all go about in their huge 1800s dresses over the mud.
Oh man, that sounds horrible. But also, I feel like back then, if you were a woman and you had to wear all that crap,
I really was a load of crap.
I would probably be like, this is a Wild West. I'm wearing what I want. I don't care.
I'm
I'm
gonna put
wearing
some
a pair of
trousers on if it's all
trousers.
the same with you.
Yes.
Has anyone got any boots? Because it's very fucking muddy around here.
Yeah, it's muddy. Sometimes it's freezing. Sometimes it's dry as dirt and hot and humid. That's one positive of the Wild West for women is you could probably get away with wearing what you wanted and people would be like, "Yeah, I get
Yeah, like the impracticality of 1800s clothes, I will never get over.
it."
No zips. Everything was buttoned. Like, what a palaver.
And people still had corsets and you had like long stockings and what are those? Actually, that reminds me of the other story that I did. I can't remember what episode it was, but feather
Oh, was it like
legs.
that? Yes. Do you know what I was
Yeah.
about to call her? Feather pants.
Are they called? Pantaloons or something?
Yeah,
Go
like.
listen to that one because I think that was in Wyoming as well. So
Yeah, you love it. You've got a secret.
I
Okay,
do.
now we know.
I'm
It's
discovering this.
conspiracies, ghosts and aliens, and the Wild West. They're
And
your top
Wyoming.
three.
Yes.
Wyoming.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, maybe we should go to a have you ever been to like a fake old Wild West town? Don't they have
Yeah,
those
we
in
should.
America?
There's one in Joshua Tree. We should go. It's called Pioneer
What?
Town. Yeah, we're gonna
Why
go.
didn't you tell me that? I would have gone to that.
Because I've been there before, and sometimes there's nothing open, and there's like no one around, so there's no point. And then
Oh.
other times, there's people around, and there's like little shops open, and there's a horse show or something.
Oh
So
my
yeah.
God, I would love that.
We'll take a road trip. We'll take a little road trip and we'll go when you're here in May.
Yes, 100%. Okay, well, we've been cracking on for about an hour and 20 minutes now, so
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you had a great
yeah,
new
thank you for
year.
listening. We're back and we won't go away again. I'm sorry, I
No.
just couldn't. It had been a long year
We
and
needed a little break and we appreciate you coming back to listen
we
to
do,
us.
and I appreciate everybody's kind comments about like, get better soon, and yeah, everyone's been really sweet about it, so hopefully we haven't lost too many people with that 1 week off.
Also, listen to our Patreon. Thank you to everyone who's signed up in the past couple of weeks. We will send out our thank yous probably next week. But
I posted one today.
yay, sign up to our
Yeah.
Patreon. We will be
Yes.
putting up new episodes on there soon. So
We
thanks.
will.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Transatlantic Crime this week. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at TransatCrimePod, Instagram at Transatlantic Crime, and on Facebook with Transatlantic Crime Podcast.
Thanks, bye.